welcome to everyone. This call is going to be working on time management issues and how to work smarter, not harder. I think that, I think most of you know that this graduate network call has an advisory board, and the advisory board asked us to come back with some more fundamentals on time management and fundamentals on marketing and staffing. We do a lot of other things on reminding you about how to re-engineer the law firm, but they asked to keep coming back with some of the fundamentals because it's always great to hear. And so on this call, we have a senior practice advisor from Atticus, Glenn Finch. And Glenn, in addition to being very, very, very powerful in the area of time management, marketing, and many of the other systems that go in the law firm, is a great coach. And for those of you that don't know, Glenn was recently deployed with the reserves and has recently come off and back into Atticus, and we welcome back into the fold. And for those of you that have been looking for, have worked with Glenn in the past, and have been looking to work with a great coach, he's the guy. So don't hesitate to give him a call. Glenn, do you want to go ahead and take over?
Sounds like a plan. Thank you for the introduction, Mark. You always make my head swell. And when some of you were announcing yourselves on the call today, I heard a lot of familiar names and familiar voices, and it's a real privilege to be back here and address all of you graduates. Even with some fundamentals here, it's a privilege to be back here and to be able to take this time and work on those important things that we all need to work on, myself included. But today I'm going to talk about working smarter and not harder. And we're going to go over some real fundamentals that will be familiar on the Atticus side. I'm going to use terms, though, that an author by the name of Roger Merrill, who is a student of Stephen Covey and is still working with the Stephen Covey Corporation and all the time management, the Franklin Covey, Inc., as it is. And he put together a book some years ago by the name of Connections, where he talked about Quadrant 2 time management. And Quadrant 2 is where we're working on the important things without being faced with crisis management 24/7. And a lot of that research heavily influenced Atticus and are wanting to place a priority on addressing time management issues in every one of your practices. And I'm going to refer back to what Atticus terms coincide with one of the things that Merrill talks about, but I want to get right into this and just say that the summer is a great time to refocus on your basic time management skills. You know, you're planning for vacations. Hopefully all of you have either taken them or they're already on the calendar to go. And getting that production done prior to your departure really depends on your efficiency and effectiveness in getting that office ready for that. We've all asked ourselves, how can I get more done in less time? And the question is one basically of efficiency. Now, efficiency enables you to do more things, but it doesn't affect whether or not you're doing the right things. And if you're not headed in the right direction, you've gotten away from your goals and missions, efficiency will only help you get to the wrong place faster. That's why revisiting your personal vision and professional mission, the goals for the year, which Mark addressed on the last graduate call, all that makes the connections which make all the difference. And your vision will put efficiency in that framework of effectiveness. So that's why I want to revisit today some basic strategies and principles that are extremely effective in enabling you to get more important things done in less time. Now, I'm going to address 10 strategies today. So if you've got your notes out there and a pen, I'll be very clear on each strategy. And the first one is this. Get better at what you do a lot of. Get better at what you do a lot of. Now, this certainly coincides with things like time blocking and putting like issues together. But the bottom line is you want to continue to refine your skills you need to use frequently, such as reading, writing. For example, some of you do a lot of reading, research in your practice, and if you read 300 to 400 words per minute with about a 60% retention level, how much more efficient could you be reading 1,000 words per minute with a 90% retention level? And there are speed reading courses even available online now, something you can do and make time to improve your reading. In your marketing plans, many of you have to remember a large number of names on a regular basis. You spend a lot of energy and time trying to remember them all. There are many mnemonic techniques that you can buy books on to reduce the time and energy you spend on just remembering. You can also use contact management software. Some of you haven't added that to your practice yet. And in that software, you can effectively manage those contacts, birthdays, favorite bottles of wine, favorite restaurants. And just touching that software and visit that software just before you run to your next marketing engagement. A great way to save some time. If you travel a lot, learn to pack more efficiently. How to handle business at the airport. Where to sit to make the best use of your time and get off that plane. These are simple, basic things that you can practice to get better at what you do a lot of. And, of course, make sure you're using that block and tackle approach to keep those like things together to get production done in the office. Group similar files together where you can complete tasks that require the same type of skills, whether it's listening, writing, reviewing, etc. So get better at what you do a lot of. The second strategy is be where you are. Be where you are. You know, some authors talk about being present. It's that focus. And it's that idea of communicating for understanding. I always remind people during my coaching that verbal communication is a fascinating thing, especially attorneys. They like to put a lot of emphasis on the content of your communication, and we are word crafters at heart. But verbal communication is 7% content. This has been done in communication studies, 7% content. 38% is just tone of voice. And believe it or not, 55% is body language. Now, that's assuming, of course, you're face-to-face. Phone conversations change a little bit, but it still doesn't go much beyond 12% content. So what that means is you can't communicate effectively if you're partially listening. Practice making eye contact and postponing your next response until you clearly understand the message when you're sitting down with clients and setting expectations or talking with your staff. Remove distractions from your desk or office that may interfere your ability to focus on the job at hand. Concentrating your mental energies on what you are doing instead of on the 20 other things you're not doing has a powerful impact on the results. And this is a simple fundamental thing that we can all practice, just being present. Be where you are. This is where your Atticus tools of question batching, the daily to-do list, and the interruption logging can resharpen your simple ability to focus. We know that there are plenty of distractions, never a shortage of those, and so it's always an important thing to practice the old habits of being present. Be where you are. The third strategy Roger Merrill discusses, he calls synergize. Now, synergy is a term used to describe that phenomenon that occurs when two or more things combine in such a way that the whole is greater in effect than the sum of individual effects. Stephen Covey even identifies synergy as one of the seven habits of highly effective people, simply because of its powerful result in creating interpersonal problem solving. The ideas and the solutions generated by the interaction of several individuals, like your team in your office, always far exceeds the sum of what any one individual could come up with on their own. Now, in time management, then, what does synergy have to do with? In time management, synergy describes the results achieved when two or more objectives are accomplished by a single activity. For example, a round of golf with two or more new colleagues may serve your recreation needs and serve as a marketing opportunity to expand your network. You may be able to take a deposition, train a new legal assistant, and conduct a performance review by taking that assistant with you to the deposition and discussing his or her performance on the way. Combining some of these things in a synergistic way so that you're doing marketing and recreation or reviews and developing leadership skills of your staff is a great way to make better use of your time. So that third strategy is synergy. The fourth strategy is segment. Like the block and tackle approach, segmenting large writing projects, filing projects, research projects, etc., will seem a whole lot less overwhelming when you break the overwhelming task down into smaller units. If you have a perfectionist personality, you probably feel driven to start at the beginning and persevere with every detail until you finish. And that's when we often get lost in the weeds and we worry just of the sizable nature of the task. Now, here's a good time to take advice from professional writers who produce their first draft of a letter, chapter, or memo by rushing through and getting all the major thoughts down first. You take a break, and then you rewrite. Take another break, and rewrite. And you place a time limit on each production phase and consider that unit accomplished when it's done. That's what we call segmenting. Put simply, try to break all your big projects, big cases, down into conquerable parts and handle them one at a time. A lot of softwares out there provide even project management now that break the large tasks down and organize them. You can assign them and delegate them to different people in the office. And these softwares bring people and resources and schedules together in ways that save time. You may not even need a software to do it if you can just get the idea of segmenting. You know, when Atticus talks about moving cases along, we use the term CSO, or case status organization meeting. That's a good example of segmenting the process or the files in the office. And you can do this or practice this principle in all your tasks. So that fourth strategy of segmenting, simply just breaking things down into bite-size or sizable tasks in the completion of the whole. The fifth strategy that I want to mention today is start and finish strong. And that's why in the summer now, in the middle of the year, it's a good reminder. I don't know how it is where each of you are, but it is hot in Central Florida right now. And the idea of going out and taking a run and starting strong and finishing strong seems pretty foreign. But as any athlete knows, a poor start or a weak finish will never win the race. It's the same in accomplishing tasks. The tools, the planning, the preparation, they all create a strong start. And so investing the time up front to plan and to tackle any number of difficult tasks when you have the most energy are also important to starting strong. Having a successful daily plan, it's vital to the strong starter. Using the weekly planning pad, that 1306, the famous weekly planning pad form that all Atticus students ought to know well by now, and the 1307, the daily to-do list, that ensures that you never arrive at the office and sit down at your desk and wonder what you're going to do. Now, when the cyclical nature of your practice and the momentum of life take over, invariably that's going to happen anyway. But it just takes a few minutes to go back to your plan, that strong start. If your best energy is in the morning, resist trying to complete the easy things like email and phone calls and minutiae until the later hours of the day. Oftentimes I call that low-hanging fruit. We try to knock that out, but maybe we need our best energy for the more challenging tasks. Don't let the seeming insignificance of the minutiae, though, which may in fact be important to the administration of your office and your practice, cause you to put less emphasis on finishing strong. One way I like to do for myself to inspire a strong finish for my day is to place a relationship building or a recreational activity at the end of the day or a big project, or put on the calendar going out to dinner with my wife, or go to the gym. Or I personally like electronics and buying toys, so I may schedule a trip to Best Buy or something. I know it sounds trite, but that way I know I'm going to finish strong if I've got something that I'm looking forward to. So that fifth strategy is simply to start and finish strong every day. Now, the sixth strategy I want to talk about, Merrill uses the terms insulate and isolate. You probably already know where this is going as far as Atticus is concerned. It's about protecting your time. It's that hyper-focus that Mark has used before, and Sean, those of you who worked with Sean, she often uses that term. I always like it. And in order to maintain hyperfocus and protect your most important production, that power hour during the day, you may have to use some of the most basic Atticus concepts, blow the dust off them, of things like closing your door. putting a sign on your door, using a time comp, or have your assistant or secretary stand guard and protect your time. I like the words that Merrill uses because he's referencing electric wires. And as many of you know, wires designed to carry electric energy from one point to another are insulated with the idea that the energy will flow along a prescribed path and reach its destination with full total power. That insulation assures that energy will not be diverted along the way. That's why using your assistant, closing the door, the mute button on your phone, turning that beep off on the computer, they're all forms of insulation so that you can stay in that power hour, so that you can maintain hyperfocus. And don't forget that sometimes only isolation will work to foster your very best focus, getting away from the office, maybe going down to the bookstore, the coffee shop, a new environment. That isolation from all the distractions that sometimes are just hard to manage all completely in the office may demand a day of isolation. Those of you who I've actually coached with before, you know that I'm a big fan of planning a day, and right now would be the time to plan this for August, but you can get away for an administration day. One whole day set aside, you're going to do nothing but work on the practice. Take care of some of those tolerances, those administration tasks that you've put off. I also like to recommend one day for recreation, and not on the weekend, an actual work day that you're going to get away from the office and you just do recreation. Now, certainly you can synergize that with a marketing activity, but the idea is to isolate and to focus and avoid those interruptions which will rob your efficiency. So that's the sixth strategy, insulate and isolate. Now, the seventh strategy seems almost basic. I almost wanted to delete it altogether, but I felt we needed to talk a little bit about it. It's organize and categorize. I can't imagine any of us on this call right now who haven't tried that in some form or fashion. But sometimes, no matter how hard you try to keep your desk clean and your office organized, the momentum of life still takes over and clutter creeps in. So here's a good point to use that administration day I just referenced to focus on organization. Clean the desk. Just get it done one day. Eliminate the piles of files. Realign the systems. You know, when I was thinking about this and I was wondering whether or not to even talk about it today, I remembered that all fine-tuned machines need calibration on a consistent basis. Whether it's a fuel pump or a medical surgical machine, all fine-tuned machines need calibration. One day a month is not a bad prescription to recalibrate the office. Look at your organization and categorization. Take the time to organize the files and folders on your computer. Consider archiving files to clean up the clutter. Categorize your file system according to your roles and mental framework. The bottom line, minimize the time it takes to find things when you need them. Or like I like to say, or better yet, make it easy for your staff to find things when you're on the golf course. That's why the seventh strategy that Merrill talks about is to organize and categorize. Atticus would just say, systematize. Make it easier, more efficient. The eighth strategy I'll give you today is simplify. We've heard this before. Either it's a business coach or a life coach or an Atticus coach, you always hear the call to simplify. Because sometimes our systems have a way of growing their own systems. One of the clients I was working with originally, and then came back to after my active duty stint, I saw how his systems had become so confusing and so complex that the original intent of that system was somehow lost in the weeds. And we lose that original design. I think that's why Mark was referencing here earlier that it's good every now and then on these graduate network calls to get back to fundamentals. And ask yourself, how many of the meetings you attend are really necessary? How much of what goes on in those meetings is really essential? How many letters do you dictate when a two-sentence memo or a phone call would do the job? Simplify. How many policies and procedures are really vital to the office? Sometimes simplifying technologically is in order. How often do we spend more time trying to sync the desktop with the laptop, with the PDA, and the Trio, only to find a note in the pocket will do the job? While a lot of software is aimed at making our life easier, all too often we spend endless hours trying to understand it and synchronize it. Decide what's absolutely necessary to enhance disciplines already in place and simplify. I want to remind you of an Atticus concept that goes way back to the two-day practice builder, or maybe your coach covered at one time. And that is, the technologies that we use in our office should only enhance disciplines already in place. We don't purchase and use technology to create the disciplines, just to enhance them. Interesting note I came across on the internet the other day that they talked about the paperless offices today are using more paper than ever. I don't know if you find that in your office, but maybe this is a good time to simplify. Now, the ninth strategy I'll mention here is to drop distractions. Now, this is what Atticus would say: manage interruptions. I say it again, manage interruptions. Merrill says, drop the distractions. Of course, easier said than done, but we need to look at how we're managing interruptions. Good time to revisit that. Remember that one interruption costs an average of 7 minutes, another 3 minutes to refocus on the task you were working on. That's a total of 10 minutes. 10 interruptions a day at 5 days a week equals 500 wasted minutes. Now, that's over 8 hours. It's a whole workday. How much are you really worth per hour? Manage interruptions. This is one of the biggest drains of effectiveness in offices. Biggest drains on efficiency. And it's the littlest thing. And sometimes it's those staff attorneys and our own assistants who are the biggest violators. And we need to revisit it in that staff meeting. Re-examine your systems that are controlling those interruptions. Drop distractions. Well, the final strategy that I want to reference before we wrap this up and open the line up to some questions that some of you may have is to clarify expectations up front. That's what Roger Merrill says. Clarify expectations up front. This has to do with intake, as far as Atticus is concerned. It has to do with delegation with your staff, leveraging yourself, setting clear expectations of your team. Planning and preparation are the best tools in reducing the amount of time needed for production. Remember that time and motion studies show us that 1 hour of planning saves 4 hours of production. You can break that down. 15 minutes of planning can save an hour. So how important is it to address expectations with our clients, our assistants, our staff attorneys? When clients are disappointed and staff members fail in the delegated task, reevaluate how clear you were in setting those expectations up front. Go back to those SMART rules of delegation that Atticus teaches. Be specific, measurable, accountable, realistic, and use a timeline. The consequences of unclear expectations are not always easy to see, especially today in a world where we have learned to live with repeating tasks, redoing. The old adage, if I wanted it done right, I should have done it myself. We get used to that. And we relate on a surface level to protect tender feelings. We've all been there. Try not to hurt the feelings, and you know, let's just get it done myself. But those consequences of unclear expectations are really there, and they are responsible for many hours, many days, even weeks of wasted time in our practice. So clarifying expectations is one of the most important non-urgent activities we can practice on a daily basis. For some of us, that may mean going back and looking at the intake system. What are we telling the clients? Are we making expectations clear? Are we introducing them to our team? Are we telling them what might actually happen the next time they call into the office, who they might be talking to, who on the team is working on their file, on their case? When you don't make expectations clear, the resulting misunderstanding and inadequate performance frequently throw you into crisis management. And usually, in fact, inevitably, it happens just before you go on vacation or just before you got a big trial. And so we end up trying to meet what have become urgent deadlines in an atmosphere of strained relationships. And we can actually feel the stress rise. But when you do take the time to clarify expectations from the beginning, you provide a great foundation for successful, interdependent effort, and you free time down the road for better things than redoing what already could have been done. I think that's one of the most important strategies. It's number 10, clarify expectations up front. Well, before I open up to questions, let me just say that I can assure you that these 10 strategies will definitely help you work smarter and not harder. And actually, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here with all you Atticus graduates on this call, because you've learned that the time management systems really do work. Your efficiency and your effectiveness will always improve when you get back to these fundamentals. But no matter how efficient you become at what you do, your mental abilities are such that you will always be aware of more than you can possibly do. Now, you can continue to build your ability to do more and more, but you always do whatever you do at the expense of not doing something else. And that's why practicing some of these strategies is teaching you and reminding you to develop habits around working smarter, not necessarily harder. For example, you can work an hour later into the evening. We've all done it. But you do so at the cost of time with your family. You can continue working later into the night, but you do so at the cost of revitalizing rest for your mind and body. So I want to tell you, practice saying no to the interruptions. Continue practicing saying no to the C&D clients. Practicing saying no to the more is better way of thinking is another good technique. Remember the maxim, you can do anything you want, but not everything. I tell my clients who have a difficulty saying no that when you say no to something, you are actually saying yes to something or someone you value more. So saying no is not a bad thing. Some of us just need to learn how to say it a little bit better, realizing we're really affirming those things we value more in our vision and that mission that drives us along. And remember that in the hectic times, balance is no less important. In fact, it may even be more so. Well, that being said, I think I want to go on and open the phone to other questions. If you were taking notes along the way, let me just rehash before we do that. Strategy one was get better at what you do a lot of. Two, be where you are. Three, synergize. Four, segment. Five, start and finish strong. Six, insulate and isolate. Seven, organize and categorize. Eight, simplify. Nine, drop distractions. And 10, clarify expectations up front. Well, that being said, I'd like to open up to anybody who may have questions or dealing with specific hecticness in your practice right now that we might be able to learn from each other on. Are there any questions? And if you do have a question, you may still be on hold. Pressing the 6 button on your phone will take you off mute.
Hey, Glenn?
Yes.
I'm just going to check and make sure that we've got the fully unmuted, because it sounds like we're still not fully unmuted for the full line. Let me just check.
Okay. Practicing efficiency.
There you go, Glenn. Now you're open for questions.
I think we've got everybody off the...
No, you're open for questions now, Glenn.
Great. Any questions that you might have about some of these strategies for working smarter?
Glenn, can you talk a little more about Synergize, number three?
Absolutely. Synergize, another way of looking at it is killing two birds with one stone, to use an old cliche. Combining a day fishing with some marketing, taking some of those referral sources out. Golfing for your own sense of recreation, and learning about someone else's business or practice that may stand in a position to provide referrals down the road. It may be going out to a new restaurant you've been wanting to try and taking your spouse along and inviting another couple, a referral source or influencer. So what you're doing is you're building your own personal relationships and recreation, combining it with some marketing opportunities. The other aspect is taking staff persons or key people in your office with you when you're collecting depositions or when you're going to court. Familiarize them with what you do and do a performance evaluation on the way. Does that help answer that better?
Yep.
Any other questions about any of these strategies? I don't want to cut anybody off. One of the things I wanted to remind you that I haven't said so far, and again, it's so fundamental, but I myself have to be reminded that time is non-inflationary. You know, there are only 24 hours in the day, no more, no less. And any of you who know anything about music know that a song written in 4/4 time has only 4 beats per measure, no more, no less. But what you do with those hours or what you do with those 4 beats make all the difference. Some of us have to kind of reinvent the music. We have to reevaluate how we're using that time in our day, making sure it's in alignment with our vision. And these simple strategies I reminded you of today are a way to get back into your practice that sense of alignment of where you're going and the goals you're trying to obtain. Quantity is important, but not at the expense of quality. And efficiency certainly has its place, but only within the framework of effectiveness. Mark, I think I'll give one more opportunity for any questions or comments.
Well, I think it was great. This is Ginger from Bradenton, and it recapitalizes. Hi, how you doing? it brought everything together, and it's always great to revisit that.
Can't revisit fundamentals too many times.
Glenn, this is Mark. You hear a lot of background noise, but if there's not a question, if anyone doesn't have a question, the whole opportunity of this call is to revisit your fundamentals around time management, and if you're struggling with any issues, and how you know if you're struggling, if you're feeling too much stress during the day, usually it's a time management or staffing issue. Or if you find yourself working late into the evening, you've got a time management problem. If work isn't, production isn't getting out on time, if you can't get your billing in time, it's usually a time management problem. And anyone in this call that's struggling with an issue, I promise you, about 50% of the rest of the call is struggling with it. So don't be shy. If you've got an issue and you want to talk about it, just say your name and city. And if there's no issues, Glenn, we can go ahead and complete the call. So I'll open it up for questions. Great. Hey, Glenn, it sounds like there's nobody has any particular issues, so if you want, we can go ahead and close this call early.
Glenn?
Great. Yes.
Glenn, this is Teresa Horton.
Hey, Teresa.
South Carolina. I wanted to share with you all a game that around the shutting down the interruptions that we've established in our office, and it hasn't been. We're only in the second week, so it hasn't really been all that successful. But I gave everybody 50 and told them that once a month it would be worth $5, and each chip is worth a nickel. And whenever you come in and interrupt me outside the environment, you have to bring me a bingo chip. So at the end of the month, I will hand everybody $5 minus any bingo chips of theirs that I have, and each person has a different color. So I'm trying to make it a game, fun, at the same time get everybody clear that this is, like, really important enough for me to lay some money on the line. My thought was 2 or 3 months down the road, I would enter the bingo chips and make them worth a dime apiece. So we'll see how that goes, but it has actually, it's, even if, well, I think there are actually fewer interruptions since we started it, but everybody's much more aware of them because they're dropping a nickel in the pot every time they interrupt me. So it's been kind of a fun experiment.
Well said, and I'm glad you brought that out at the end. You know, what you've done, Teresa, is found a creative way to bring out the awareness of the interruptions. And just by being more aware, they can manage it. You can't manage what you're not aware of.
I'm going to go back on mute.
Well, great for sharing that. Thank you.
Glenn, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
This is Debt Jokes in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason that you're not receiving a lot of questions is because the items that you talked about are so fundamental and so basic that and you have really clearly detailed them out and so forth. So I don't believe that the lack of questions is a lack of interest. You did a very, very good job. In time management, where does delegation come in? Because it's so easy to manage your time, you know, effectively. Well, it's not easy, but you know, we all get better at it to manage your time effectively. But where does delegation come in when you are really trying to do too much yourself with good time management?
That's a great question. And I would say, not to try to marry them up specifically with what Roger Merrill talks about, but certainly the delegation comes in under insulate and isolate, also clarifying expectations up front. You need to delegate to a team and introduce your clients to a team, introducing yourself to a team, simply because you know that only your vital skills are used for the most specific, most complex matters. And for you to be able to focus your very best skills, your talents, on only those most important things, you've got to insulate yourself, literally, from doing all the medial things that somebody else could do. And delegation is the system to be able to use those people and other skills in your office, your team, to provide the best service, the most cost-effective service to your client. Clarifying expectations reinforces your need to delegate. So if you're talking to a client who comes in and you're telling what you're going to be able to do for them on a case or this is what's going to happen, if you are clarifying expectations well, you introduce them to the team, which means your team's going to have to work on this file. They're going to be answering the phone. And always, as the business owner, as the attorney working on the practice, you need to ask yourself this question. Simplify, meaning I need to be working on the most important things. Anything else that's repeatable, anything else that somebody with maybe lesser skills can do, they need to be doing it so that I can do more of the more important task. And so that's simplifying, it's isolating yourself, doing things which really are not a good use of your skills, and it's clarifying expectations from the get-go to hold you accountable. I don't answer my phone. My assistants do. Let me introduce you to them. The paperwork and the filing is going to be handled by Mr. So-and-so here, let me introduce you to them. Well, that's a great question. And delegation probably should be added to Roger Merrill's list here more specifically, so that you get better at what you do a lot of, and that's the things that only require your expertise, your assistant will take care of the other things on down the road to the lowest level of competence in your office where you're delegating along the line. Somebody's got some creative sounds in the background. If you
I have
mute.
No idea what that is. And they're probably not going to be muted too easily. Glenn, let's see if there's any additional questions.
Sure.
And if not, we'll go ahead and finish the call early. Good. Great job, Glenn. Let's go ahead and close. Anything that you want to say in conclusion?
Just that you're absolutely right when you said that these are fundamental things we all are aware of, but sometimes we lose sight of those things that become so secondary in nature and in habits. And this time that could be busy in the summer is a good time to revisit these skills. I hope you took them down and just fine-tune your systems. Give yourself a professional checkup. And I wish you the very best, and congratulations on working smarter, not harder.
Good. And, Glenn, thank you for taking the time to lead this call. You do a great job with it, and we are glad you're back on the team.
Good to be back. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, let's go ahead and close, and it was great having you. We'll see you on the next graduate call. Bye, everyone.